Would you please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Our theme for the year is perfecting God's love in us. And today is Children's Day, so we're going to blend those two things together and talk about a child's love. And we're going to use young Samuel as an example. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege it is to open your book. These are your words. We just want to understand them and understand not only what you have said, but how these things apply to our lives. So we pray for your help in this regard. May your Holy Spirit be our teacher, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Children are not pets. Have you ever seen some parents who have treated their children like pets? They even put them on leashes sometimes. Have you seen that? Talk to them in funny words that even adults can't understand. Or talk around them as if the children didn't have ears. I understand that children are limited in maturity and knowledge and wisdom and have growing to do, but children are people. And as a person, a child is capable of thinking, feeling, and choosing. And if, as we have been defining God's love from the beginning of the year, love is giving. Giving of oneself to God, giving of oneself to others, a child is quite capable of loving. And Samuel is an excellent example. In verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord." The child Samuel, he is just a boy. This word child is the same word that is used in chapter 1 and verse 24, where his mother, Hannah, says of her in chapter 1 in verse 24, when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah, flour, a bottle of wine, brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And it says the child was young. Now, an interesting thing about that word young is this. If you look up the word young in Strong's Concordance, you'll find exactly the same number as you will for the word child. So, in essence, it's saying the child is a child. Now, in the Bible, God does that. When he does that kind of thing, he's emphasizing something. And what he's doing in this case is emphasizing the childishness, the youthfulness of the child, and thus the child is young. So very young. Just being weaned, he could be as young as 4 years old. And he's being dropped off at the tabernacle to serve the Lord. In chapter 1 in verse 25, it says they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I ask of him. Therefore," chapter 1 verse 28, "therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And so in chapter 3 and verse 1, Samuel ministered unto the Lord. The word minister means to serve. He served the Lord as a child. as just the boy. Now, we presume that between chapter 1 and chapter 3, he grew a little bit. And in fact, in chapter 2, in verses 18 and 19, we're told how his mother, from year to year, would make a new coat for him. I guess he grew a little bit, and the coat would only last about a year, and he'd need a new coat. You know, parents, how that is. How long does it take for them to grow out of a pair of shoes sometimes? Remember, we used to call it high water pants on the boys. They'd grow so fast you couldn't keep up with it, and the hem of the pant would kind of climb up their leg. And so from year to year, she would bring a new coat. But by the time we get to chapter 3, even though some years have passed, Samuel is still a child. He's a boy. I want to say, do not underestimate a child's ability to believe the gospel, receive Christ as their Savior, and have a willing heart to serve the Lord. Remember, they are people, and they have the ability to think, to feel, and to choose, and thus the ability to believe. And Samuel, as a child, ministered unto the Lord. In verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2, and it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. In other words, he's falling asleep. It's dark. We've talked before about, you know, we don't appreciate what darkness really is. But he's an old man. I don't think this is referring to him losing his sight in particular. Because then in verse 3 it says, ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, the lamps are going out. It's nighttime. It's dark. And at the end of verse 3, Samuel was laid down to sleep. In verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, that is, Samuel answered, here am I. But Samuel thinks that it is Eli calling him, and so he jumps out of bed. Verse 5, he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. Now, Samuel really thought that Eli called him. And I want you to notice, Samuel responded right away. There was no hesitation. He heard his name, and he immediately went to Eli. Samuel is a boy. He's a child. But he responded immediately. What an excellent attitude in a child. Just as soon as he heard his name, he didn't have to hear it twice. He went immediately to Eli. Children, do you love your parents? Well, let's see. How many times do they have to call your name before you come? Do you always come when you hear your name once? How many times should they have to call your name before you come? Once? That was Samuel's response. Hear his name once, and he was right there. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 6, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. Again, he thinks Eli is the one that's calling him. And again, Eli said, I didn't call you. Notice that in spite of what happened the first time, Samuel is right there. He hears his name. He goes immediately to Eli. But Eli insists. He didn't call him. Now, Samuel had not had any personal interaction with God up to this point. And so it says in verse 7, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him." I do not believe this is saying that Samuel did not know that God was the Lord, because in verse 1 it says the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. He knew that God was the Lord. But up to this point, Samuel had had no personal interaction with God. He's about to become a prophet, and prophets had personal interaction with God back in the Old Testament. We don't today because the prophets did their work, and we have it all complete right here. But back then, they didn't have all the written word of God, and so God used men to communicate the truth of the word of God, and he used prophets. Up to this point, as it says in verse 7, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. That's what God does with prophets. And so Samuel, because he had not yet heard the voice of the Lord, did not recognize the voice of the Lord. Now, Luke and Daniel, remember what I said I was going to do? Would you two guys stand up, please? I'm going to ask you a question. Who's the president of the United States? Joe Biden. Now, have you ever met him? You never met him. You never shook his hand? No? What if President Joe Biden called you on the telephone, and all he said was, "Hello, Luke," or "Hello, Daniel," would you know who it was that was calling you? But you know who the president is, right? You wouldn't recognize his voice, would you, if he didn't tell you who he was? No. You two are about the age that I think Samuel is in this event in Scripture. Thank you. You can sit down. I appreciate your helpfulness. Samuel didn't recognize God's voice. He had never heard it before. He knew that God was the Lord, but he didn't recognize his voice. So he just assumed it was Eli. He's the only other one around at the present time. It must be Eli that's calling. So in verse 8, it happens the third time, and the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And notice how submissive Samuel is. He didn't say, "Will you stop pretending you didn't call me?" No, he just went. He heard his name. He was there. That's as obedient as you can possibly be. But finally, Eli understood what was going on. Now, it doesn't expressly say that Eli tells Samuel that it was God that was speaking to him, but I think by what he did say, he is telling Samuel that it is the Lord calling to him. So we have in verse 8, "The Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose, went to Eli, and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" He's telling Samuel, it's the Lord that's calling you. and don't be afraid. Just answer him. And sure enough, verse 10, the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. God tells Samuel a very hard message. In fact, God tells Samuel this is going to be a hard message. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. Tingle, quiver out of fear. Did you ever hear something so frightening, so horrible, that all you wanted to do was cover your ears so that you wouldn't have to hear it? God says this is going to be really a hard message, and everybody is going to know it's a hard message. He says in verse 12, in that day I will perform against Eli. Now, wait a minute. Do you think Samuel likes Eli? He's been with him for several years. He's served in the tabernacle with him. How did Samuel respond when he thought Eli was calling him? He's right there. Samuel, oh, Eli's calling. Gotta go. Zoop, I'm right there. No, I didn't call you. It happens three times, and even though Eli insists he's not calling him, it doesn't matter to Samuel. He hears his name. He responds with respect and honor to Eli. I'm right here, ready to serve you. Do whatever you tell me to do. And now God says, the message I'm giving you is against Eli. I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning this house. The judgment is because Eli has failed to restrain his own sons. Verse 13. For I have told him, and it's true, God has told him multiple times before, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. Notice, not what he did, but what he knows. Because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. It's too late for Eli's sons. Notice at the end of verse 12, God said, when I begin, I also will make an end. It's over as far as Eli's sons are concerned. It's done. Too late to offer sacrifices for them. Samuel obviously struggled with this heavy message and heavy responsibility of communicating this message to Eli. In verse 15, it says, and Samuel lay until the morning. Apparently, he didn't get back to sleep. Do you think you could go back to sleep after God talking to you like that and giving you this hard message? And in the morning, it says, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was accustomed to doing menial tasks. After all, he wasn't a priest. He wasn't old enough. He was just a boy. So what could he do? He did things like opening the doors, opening the gates at the tabernacle so the people who wanted to bring in sacrifices for the day could do that. He did menial tasks. And he got up and he just did his duty. Think about what had just happened. He had just become a prophet. But he still just did his duty. While he was hesitant to talk to Eli, he feared, it says, to show Eli the vision. But I want you to notice, there is a strain of humility in Samuel. Even though he's just a boy, it's very easy for any one of us, and children included, to really become puffed up with special responsibilities. Imagine a classroom where a teacher occasionally has to leave the room, and so she picks one of the students in her class to be the supervisor of the class, but she always picks the same person, the same student, every time she has to go to all the room. Everybody knows, they picked her again, or they picked him again. He always gets to be the teacher's pet. Is that what they used to call him? How does that student who always gets picked for that special responsibility feel? Boy, look at me. I'm special. I mean, can you imagine becoming a prophet as a boy? As a child? That's huge. Samuel certainly had to be aware of what the office of prophet involved, though I don't think there were many prophets when he was a boy. But still, I'm a prophet. But you don't sense any of that arrogance and pride and being puffed up in Samuel. There's a strain of humility still within him. He was given an awesome responsibility, a young child giving a message of divine judgment to a man old enough to be his great-grandfather. Oh, 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 15, we're told that Eli was 98 years old. It was not only intimidating to have a message to give that was so hard, but to have to give it to a man he had served. It was tough. But Eli made it easy on him. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 16, then Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son," and he answered, "Here am I." Oh, this time Eli actually did call him, and Samuel was right there. But notice the endearing term he uses, "Samuel, my son." This was not a one-way relationship between Samuel and Eli. Eli, no doubt, had a spark of joy in his heart, knowing what his own sons were like, to have this young boy have such a heart for the Lord come and serve beside him. Eli must have grown to love this boy. But Eli knew. He had heard the messages before, similar messages. He had a suspicion as to what the message was God had given to Samuel. And so he says in verse 17, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee." practicing a little, how do they call it, tough love. Make sure you tell me everything God said. He's going to hold you accountable if you don't. So Samuel did. Samuel told him every whit in verse 18 and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord that is, I believe, Eli, saying, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Eli was not a bad man. Eli's sons were bad men. Eli was not a bad man. Eli was a weak man. He did confront his sons. Would you look over in chapter 2, verse 23? And he said unto them, Eli, speaking to his sons, why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. He did confront his sons, but here was the problem, beginning in verse 27 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 27. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, talking about Aaron, to offer upon mine altar to burn incense to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice, at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me. Oh, there's the rub. I believe there was a measure of love for God in Eli's heart. But he didn't love him with all his heart because he honored his wicked sons above God. And thus the message that God gave to Samuel to give to Eli, that it was over. Back to chapter 3 in verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, most commentators, I have to admit, this last part of the verse, they attribute to God, saying whatever God said that he would do, he did. But I'm looking at it slightly differently. Samuel's relationship with God stands in stark contrast with that of Eli's relationship with God. Eli let the Lord down by not keeping his words and letting his sons desecrate the holiness of God. By contrast, I believe this verse is telling us that Samuel never let any of God's words fall to the ground. Meaning that whatever God told Samuel to preach, he preached. Whatever God told Samuel to do, he did. Samuel never let God down like Eli did. Even from his youngest years, Samuel loved the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his might. And Samuel's love for God became evident to everyone in Israel. In verse 20 it says, and all Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord was able to use Samuel as an instrument of his glory among the people. And the Lord, in verse 21, appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Children, here are a couple of questions for you. Do you love your parents? Do you love your teachers? Do you love God? If you love your parents, you will obey them without hesitation. If you love your teachers, you will listen to them without resistance. If you love God, you will serve him without reluctance. That's the example of Samuel. God called, and it was right there. He was ready. He was just a boy. But it didn't matter. Because even a boy or a girl can hear the call of God. And can serve God right where you are. But these questions can apply to all of us. Do you love God? It's easy to say so. But what is our response when God tells us to do something? Are we ready? Every time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the example of Samuel, even as a boy who was ready to serve you. I pray for all of our children, teenagers, young people, that they would have ears tuned to your word, ready to obey and ready to serve. But Lord, I pray that you would give us all a childlike heart, that we would all be ready. To say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.